Gravy over icing any of the week. You got my back here, check.
David. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Oh, we got a dandy one lined up for you today. Why? Because the man seated to my immediate left is here. You listen to him on his family, a football base, but he really likes to tackle as we do here in Studio 66. That's why we get along so well. He also is not opposed to tackling the game of life straight on. It's Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And like I say, a whole family, fantasy, gambling, so on and so forth. What's the poop, RT?
Dude, good to see you in person.
What a pleasure.
Had you on my podcast last week. I'm pumped about the NFL, about Archie and Olivia Manning. You got to do that.
The NFL.
That's what
yes.
I said, the NFL.
Go back and listen to this
the
one.
The NFL.
Tucker,
and your Packers point, that I mean, I make a Aaron Rodgers Packers point, but you including Favre in it, like, is that good?
The point that I made was, if you didn't hear that one last week, and I do encourage you to go back and dig that one up, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast again from about a week or thereabouts ago, I said, and we've talked about it here as well, that Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre combined for roughly 25 years.
Exactly 25.
It's exactly 25.
92 through 2006.
So from their transition, the 1 year where Brett Favre again said, I'm going to retire, no, I'm not, and then the Packers finally
kind of pulled like a Roethlisberger.
Kind of, yeah. I don't think that's completely unfair. If Roethlisberger were to express that it's not – why would the Steelers draft a quarterback? Like, because you said you might retire, man. We got to start getting ready.
By the way, can I ask a question?
Yes.
How do you pronounce your last name?
My last name?
Yeah.
Dameshek.
Say the last syllable.
Sheck.
Because the voiceover guy, it sounds like Schick.
Schick.
Dave Dameshek.
I'm just saying,
sounds like a Schick razor.
This is what we're doing? You know what?
Your nickname is Sheck.
Whoa. Forget and my real name, Schick Razors, our next sponsor. I love it.
Like a Joe Theismann thing.
I would do that. I'd shave my legs and everything. Run with that marketing department at Schick Razors. Now, what my point was that, yes. But I'm kind of conflicted on this point. So 25 years, and save the 1 year that Rodgers finally gets under center, and it was an uneven year, but ultimately a pretty good one for number 12. Point is that 25 years, you have never had worse than the fifth best quarterback, and you would make a case that they had the number one quarterback for what, at least 12 or 15 of those years?
At least
in 10. All the NFL?
At least 10.
Brett Favre won 3 straight MVPs. Yes. Obviously, he was the best quarterback in the league
and
at that
Rodgers
point.
Rodgers has been considered the best, I would say, pretty much since they won that Super Bowl. Right or wrong, I think if the majority of people you polled would say Rodgers. Which, by the way, seems a little unfair to, like, Brady.
Okay, but let's say so. In deference to the guy who has the 5 rings.
Yeah.
Let's say Rodgers is the second best, or even the third best, when Peyton was at the height of his powers, in Denver and at the tail end there in Indy. Either way, they've always had this high-end QB, and in the Football League, that's all we ever hear about. You need to know that they have 2 Lombardis, which equals the exact same total as Trent Dilfer and Joe Flacco have delivered to the Baltimore Ravens. Have they left meat on the bone? But then I go the other way, which is this, Tucker. Haven't the Packers fans been treated to the most fun? I know the Patriots fans can claim, well, there's no beating us. We've won 5 Super Bowls this century. So even if you set them aside, are the Packers the most fun team to root for over the last 20, 25 years? I mean, Favre is,
because of the quarterbacks?
Well, in general. I mean, are the Packers fans kind of wringing their hands like, yeah, we should really win more? Are they thinking, like, nobody's had more good times in Lambeau? No one, I don't care what stadium you're talking about. This has been the most fun because of Favre and now Rodgers.
I think that they think both. I don't think, the Packers are probably the closest NFL team, I'd say, to being like a college fan base. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs are up there, too. It is rare to hear a Packers fan or a Chiefs fan saying something negative about their team. Like Steelers fans, you'll say, like, you know, the O-line stinks. Like 5 years ago, remember when the O-line was not good?
Yes, I did.
And you're like, the O-line stinks. Our secondary stinks. Like, you guys call it like it is. Chiefs fans or Packers fans, like, I'm on the radio every day. I have a tough time getting them to say a bad word. It's like they're Alabama fans, you know what I mean, or Georgia fans, mm-hmm. or where they're almost incapable of saying negative things. The other day, after the Chiefs cut Macklin, right, I said, well, what are we doing here? They've been one of the six or seven best teams in the NFL 2 years in a row. They've been one score away from being in the conference championship game, and now you're trading your first and third round pick to trade up to get Mahomes, who won't play until 2018. Now you cut your best receiver in Macklin. What are we doing? I mean, are we – the Chiefs are kind of trying to win this year, but not really. Because if they were really trying to win this year, that first-round pick – look at the Falcons guys on defense last year. Deion Jones, Devondre Campbell, you know, Neal, Keanu Neal, the safety. That could have been – the Chiefs could have gotten two good players there to help get them over the hump. They could have kept Jeremy Macklin. They didn't. So they're kind of trying to win this year, but they're also kind of trying to rebuild. I'm not a big fan of it.
Anyway,
Chiefs fans came out of the woodwork to say, you're wrong. Hmm. Well, we need another quarterback. We got to look to the future as well. Macklin, his cap number. We freed up $10 million in cap space, to which I always say to fans when they say that, who does cap space play for? What position does cap space play? I've never seen cap space make a tackle or a block. Fans get excited about cap space. It's not your money. It's crazy.
I completely agree with that. And
how about my Packers Chiefs thing? Are there any other fan bases you want to throw in there?
That are
college. They're
a little bit. Yeah, I guess I never really connected it. Yeah, I think both those fan bases do seem like college fan bases, but I never really acknowledged that they sort of circle the wagons and shame the devil if anyone from the outside were to attack them.
Yes.
Like a family. You're allowed to badmouth your family within the family, but no one else is allowed to talk bad about weird uncle, you know.
Meanwhile, there's
Uncle
other
Tommy
fan bases. There's other fan bases where if you say something negative about their team, they'll call in. You're so right, Ross. You know, like Jets fans, Eagles fans. You're so right. Meanwhile, the Chiefs and Packers, like their front office, their teams can do no wrong.
One of my favorite subjects this offseason has been what happened in Philadelphia at the draft. Roger Goodell and then Drew Pearson both got the Philly fans to essentially boo themselves. And I said, at some point, this they veer into self-parody there. But at some point, and you're in the area.
Don't knock Philly, dude.
I'm not. Listen, please don't start. And the people in Philly, a percentage of them, don't hear the spirit of my message. And I talk to the Philly people all the time. You know, I listen. The point is, if you're such a hard-boiled sports town, and our media is so tough on the local team, like at some point it's detrimental to your team's ability to win. When it's sort of like, hey, you sure you got the makeup to sign as a free agent in Philly? Those fans are mean. Like, yeah, right. Maybe I should avoid that. That's not good. You're not helping your team win when you do that. Then again, if you're too easy on your team, maybe you give them too much cover. I think what you're saying is
like Ted Thompson.
Yeah. Precisely.
That's how I look at it.
You're not pressured to win.
I mean, I feel like the Chiefs and the Packers are just happy to make the playoffs every year. And maybe that should be the goal, and every once in a while we'll break through. You know who's not happy to make the playoffs every year? Steelers fans. Mm-hmm. It's not okay just to make the playoffs, just to win one playoff game. Would you say it's fair to say if you don't at least get to the Super Bowl, it's a disappointing season?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's some ebbs and flows to that when it's a crummy team that struggles to get to 9-7 appearing there. There's some years where I'm pleased to knock off a division foe in the wild card round or divisional round. But, yeah, that's generally accurate to say that.
Chiefs fans and Packers fans seem perfectly content to just
– And Cowboys fans are sort of like Texas fans, Texas Longhorns fans, who seem incapable of acknowledging a decade – of ineptitude,
right.
And we're still the best. Oh, no. Have you not been following what's happened the last few seasons? Either way, this is a good transition for us in sharp relief to that kind of an operation. Hey, we're just happy to get to the postseason. Maybe we break through. Let's transition into what we saw on Monday night in the NBA, super team, the latest super team, takes down the former super team. The Golden State Warriors get over the hump. And I feel like, just anecdotally from what I see in social media and otherwise, I'd say it's about 66, two-thirds. I'm trying to give you a number here. What I mean to say is 66% of the fans of sport out there in the world are denouncing KD, Kevin Durant. Well, you just, so what? So you have to join a super team to get over the hump. Couldn't we say, here's the other way of looking at it. if you think, well, you wimped out. You have to take the coward route.
I love your everyman voice.
That's my everyman.
I love your everyman.
It's not too
voice.
Different from me doing your voice.
Let me tell you something, Schick.
I don't Schick, talk like that.
Schick Razor. Dave Schick Razor.
The New England Patriots are essentially putting together a super team, and or already have for 2017. Is that a fair thing to say? And is that really bogus to do? I mean, maybe here's the response.
But tell me about the super team for the Patriots.
Well, they bring in Brandon Cooks. They bring in Dwayne Allen. I mean, to the existing weaponry just, that they already
you,
have.
You just included Dwayne Allen?
As your second tight end? That's pretty scary.
They're not – if you look at the individuals,
yeah.
How many of those guys are really super team individuals? Brady?
But when you're the defending champs and you add Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks,
No.
Is he like a super – is he a top 10 wide receiver?
Well,
Kevin Durant's like the best NBA player out there.
Well, my larger point is this. Philosophically, maybe these guys who are the best athletes in the world aren't even just trying to win a championship. Maybe it's not Kevin Durant saying, I got to get that chip. I got to get the monkey off my back and so on. Maybe the goal for Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and now Kevin Durant isn't to merely win the title, but to be the greatest team in the history of the sport. And if the Patriots win the Super Bowl this year, much as it pains me to say, it's going to be hard to say that that's not the greatest era for one team in NFL history.
So, well, right? I would agree.
Is that crazy to be a professional athlete, to be the best in the business, and to the point to go back to where we started with Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre? So for all their great deeds and their gold jackets and the tens of millions of dollars, the goal is to win championships, and no one is going to call the last 25 years for the Packers. I could say it's been a lot of fun if you were a fan of theirs, but it didn't equal, and nobody's ever holding them up as the greatest team of all time. The Patriots have a chance to do that. The Golden State Warriors are in the middle of having the ability to maybe take a shot at that. They win it next year. They win 3 out of 4. And the year they didn't do it, they break the record for regular season wins. They're the best team of all time. I'm not sure what people don't get about that.
Well, how can they be the best team of all time if the Bulls won it 6 out of 8 years?
No, all right, listen.
Six out of 9 years?
I can argue.
But no, here's the point
expansion
I would make.
Expansion.
I want to say one thing about Durant. I was totally ready to say this is a joke. Like, I don't think differently of him at all, that he won a championship now. He went on the team that was 73-9 and won a championship. Dude, he was their best player. I mean, he was the best player for the Warriors by a lot the whole series. He made all the clutch shots. So I do think a little differently of him. I didn't think I would give him credit for winning a championship. I do give him a little credit for winning a championship.
I guess if he had to defer to Steph Curry in the deciding game, and Steph Curry carried it in the second half, and that's the if that was the story coming out of the championship winning yeah. game, then you're probably right. We would be saying today, yeah, KD, he rode the coattails of the two-time MVP Steph Curry. But we can't say
you
that.
You just
now.
Gave me fodder, by the way, for my podcast sometime, because everybody's talking about like the Patriots, almost the done deal that they'll go to the Super Bowl, they'll win it again. They don't really have that many great players. Like,
but
it's
they
not,
were good enough to dominate the AFC. They destroyed the second-best team in the AFC, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'm with you. Which team has more great players? The Steelers or the Patriots?
What's the subtext of that? That Bill Belichick is such a wizard compared to everybody. Which I don't say that with snark. Is he just so much better than anybody else. I don't understand what little cheat code they figured out. I don't say that in an aggro way, but you know, I'm talking video games. What have they figured out that no other that 31 other teams just can't mimic? I mean, the Steelers certainly have more firepower on both sides of the ball going into the season, but I'm basically already announcing the Patriots are.
That's what I'm saying. They're a super team without really having super team talent.
Wow.
I would say. I mean, a lot of these guys, if they went elsewhere, I don't think they'd be that great.
Well, I kind of agree with that. You don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is the savior in Cleveland or elsewhere?
I would like to see him do it. I think the Patriots really want him to be the long-term guy there. I think next offseason is going to be dominated by Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo talk. Dominated. Everybody I talk to tells me that the Patriots have pretty much earmarked Garoppolo to be their quarterback for the next 15 years. And so if they can't figure out a solution to extend it even one more year, you know, next year is when
the
poop will hit the fan.
It's that human element. The one thing I'm watching on Monday night, I'm watching them all up on the podium, and they all seem happy, and it's a great family, and they're all celebrating what a great group of guys it is. But on some level, doesn't Steph Curry have to be like, hey, I'm still here, everybody? You know, I know it's nice for KD won the title, but we don't get it without
this
the
is
old
my
Steph here.
This is my second one, yeah.
I felt a little bit like, hey, I'm still here, everybody.
You know what's amazing?
Remember when I won the title without KD?
I know this.
And by the way, he also said what I thought was great was somebody asks him in the post game interview. Somebody asked him what did he and LeBron say to one another in the post game. He said, "Well, LeBron's the only guy in the league that I've ever looked eye to eye with, and really said like you're the only guy in my way. Like Steph Curry isn't on the side. Like hey, I'm your teammate, man. I won two straight MVPs, not you or LeBron." In the last few years, what about me? I'm in that guy. At some point, maybe that'll get in the way. But otherwise, I have no beef. And the same thing with LeBron. And I've said it a million times. The whole Maverick Carter show, the pomp and circumstance around the decision of I'm taking my talents to South Beach, that was an unfortunate turn of phrase. And all the fireworks down in Miami were ridiculous. And not one, not two. All that stuff was nonsense. But if you cut through all that and just look at what happened. You had one of the best players in the league get together with a couple other of the best players in the league and eschew the need for the man. We don't need you owners. We don't need you GM. We're the players. We're the working class. We're going to do it without you. That's exactly what KD and Steph just did, right? Isn't this something we should all get behind? Strike one for the proletariat. Take that, bourgeoisie. You get it, Tucker? You understand?
That's not what Durant and Steph did. Durant just signed with the Warriors.
Why do you have to undercut me?
I'm just keeping it real.
All right. Next issue is that I really wanted to dig in with you. But before we do, because you know, you're an offensive lineman, and I refuse to be pretentious. You know the one rule in Studio 66. No jive, Ross Tucker.
But wait a minute. When do you do the thing like, all right, let's start the show?
Well, don't
we usually talk for like 10 minutes and then you go, okay, let's start the show.
Yeah,
and I never know what
away
the heck
is. In the off season, we decided to get away with the Andy Reid hurry up offense. That
got
was
it,
the,
got
the
it,
hurry
got
up
it.
To the show. And we just get right to the show.
I didn't know that.
We just let our hair down through the off season.
Got it.
And do that. But right now, let's get into me undies and then we'll move on because
I don't want to get into your undies.
I get
Boom.
It. Look at that. Somebody Boom. Went to an Ivy League school. He knows how to turn a phrase himself there. Did you hear when Kyle Brandt, your old roommate?
I listened.
When he made fun of you? He did.
Yeah.
He didn't make fun of you. He just did an impression of you on the here on the DJ.
I know. I listened.
Yeah. He's a handsome devil.
Yeah. I saw him on TV this morning weighing himself.
Yeah.
It's like a bit he's doing.
It's vain.
No, he's doing an Eddie Lacy thing.
Ah.
If he doesn't lose 5 pounds in 2 weeks from now and 10 pounds in a month, he's donating money to Eddie Lacy's charity.
Oh, speaking of weight gain, we'll get into that in just a second here. Right now, though, let me tell you, Ross Tucker, you don't have to get into my underpants. I want you to get your own pair. You're going to get 20% off if you do it right now. With MeUndies, you've perfected your wardrobe. That much is clear, at least on the outside, Ross Tucker. But you know what's underneath? What you need to put underneath? MeUndies, soft, feel-good undies delivered right to your door. Designed in L.A., made from sustainably sourced micromodal A fabric, 3 times softer than cotton and Tucker. I've worn them. I'm wearing them currently, And they are indeed very, very soft on your bottom.
Nice.
I think you're really going to enjoy it. You can get a subscription if you want to do that. You get the monthly subscription. It's all bold colors and classic shades and adventurous patterns that you can do. If you don't want that, just go and get 20% off your first pair. But you must use this URL, MeUndies.com/DDFP. To get the 20% off your first pair. The hashtag DDFP is apparently now something important that we must incorporate because it's not enough to just
say
NFL
that?
In
Can
general.
That? That thing looks so official.
That does, see?
Classy. I mean, that looks so official.
The Dave Damashek football.
We definitely don't have things like this for my podcast.
You don't have fancy cards like that?
No. Who did? Is this what you signed when people want your autograph?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Maybe you missed at NFL Honors on the eve of Super Bowl 51. I was kind enough to give my autograph out to all the NFL superstars who were there.
Nice.
Jameis Winston got one. Antonio Brown got one. Who else? It was they really enjoyed getting an autograph. Anyway, so with over undies four, what is going on here?
I believe we have a surprise guest on the line for you guys.
Uh-oh.
Let's go ahead and bring in our surprise guest.
A surprise guest, you say?
Surprise guest. Can you hear us?
Yes, and I love Dave Damashek, dude. I love Dave Damashek because Dave Damashek loves the Pittsburgh Penguins. Did you know I'm from Pennsylvania? I tell everybody I'm from Pennsylvania. I'm from Wyomissing, which is sort of like Reading, but it's Wyomissing. And Taylor Swift is from there, and Chad Henne is from there. Dude, that's a super team, dude. That's a super team. Ross Tucker and Chad Henne and, and Taylor Swift. We're going to get a keg of Yingling, and we're going to be in Pennsylvania. It's going to be awesome.
I don't talk like that, dude.
Ross Tucker is on the line talking to Ross Tucker. This is a trip, man.
I think we have like an echo in here. I don't know if it's like an LA thing, but I'm from Pennsylvania, and I know every high school football player ever from Pennsylvania. If I told you I've met Shady McCoy, he played Pittsburgh football. Dude, I don't talk like that.
Oh, man.
The laugh and everything. Pretty good. You don't have one to return fire?
No, I don't do impressions. I am going to text him the picture I took of him, though, this morning. If for some reason, he was in Browns gear standing on a scale as I'm working out this morning in the hotel room. I look over. He wouldn't even take his shirt off.
Let's acknowledge that it might not be your twin brother that you didn't know existed.
Yeah, I played for the Browns, dude. That's why I have Browns gear. Let me tell you about all the teams I played for. The Redskins, the Cowboys. I played for Bill Parcells. I played for Marty Schottenheimer. It was incredible. I'll tell you all about it. How much time do we have to podcast?
That's the great Kyle Brandt on the
it
line,
is.
I think.
You know what? I've never heard him do the impression this long and like this sustained. It's very, very good.
Well, then the DDFP has served its purpose. After 7 years of doing this, if nothing else, it has yielded Kyle Brandt's impression of Ross Tucker.
And I think
can I tell you something?
Yes.
What kind of life am I? I'm sitting here, my one-year-old's on the floor. My three-year-old is asleep. I get a text. I look at a text, and I go, hey, do you have 2 minutes to call into Sheck and do your Ross Tucker impression? What the hell is this? And you know what I said? I was like, yeah, of course. Let's do it. One of the kids might wake up, but I'm in.
I just heard the one-year-old. I heard the little girl in the background, like, after he did that.
She's climbing up
crying.
The steps.
She's
but,
the
she's all right. I'm doing my Tucker impression, baby. Hold on a second. Very
but
good.
But it's live theater, Shaq. You know how it is. I'm asking MVP. I'm like, okay, so what have they talked about? How many times has Ross talked about how he's from Pennsylvania? She's like, oh, it hasn't come up yet. I said, no way. What are they talking about? They're like, super teams. I'm like, okay, I need to construct a Wyomissing Pennsylvania super team. And maybe I should include that Ross doesn't like Taylor Swift because he used to have the most followers in Pennsylvania, and now Taylor Swift has like 50 million. Dude, she has like 50 million, dude. It's not even fair.
Kyle Brandt, I think you're really going to enjoy what we have coming up here in just a second. As you try to lose weight, do you want me to go into it now, MVP? Should we do this now? Let's cut right to it. Kyle Brandt, I want you on the line to hear a claim that Ross Tucker made on his last appearance on the DDFP. Take it away there, Ryan Bartlett. Take us back.
How many
back.
Could you do, Tucker?
I could do 100. I'd probably get
110 minutes.
Wait, hold on.
Dude, you don't even have to.
100 Munchkin donuts from Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, God, that's great.
You claimed that you could eat 100 in over the course of one show here, one DDFP. You could do the whole thing. Here we go. We'll get back. How many could you do, Tucker?
I could do 100.
I'd probably get sick.
110 minutes.
Dude, you don't even have to chew them. You just, like, swallow them.
Every 10 seconds, you would have to swallow another one.
Blueberry cake donuts. Blueberry cake donuts.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but
those would be the ones I'd pick.
Wow, we're just a few days removed from National Donut Day, and now it is time to put your mouth where your mouth is, Ross Tucker. 100 blueberry cake munchkins.
Oh, get eaten, friend. Dude, why wouldn't you tell me this before I had lunch?
Because you made claims. You didn't put any asterisks next to it. You just said I could eat 100 over the course of a show. There you go. You're welcome.
You're
gonna be up to your playing weight, dude. You are. I'm telling you, Shaq. You should have seen this guy. I went to his wedding. It was out in like the Pennsylvania countryside somewhere. I think it was 200 degrees. Ross weighed about 330, sweating through his tuxedo. It was insane. And now he's gonna be back at that playing weight because Ross. I know you can eat, dude. I know you can put that down.
100 sounds ambitious.
99 to go. Now 98. This is going to be exciting to follow along. Hey, Kyle Brandt, awesome, man.
Yes.
Fantastic impression. Go tend to that little one. I don't want to be somehow to blame for anything with child services. I don't want to get a call. Well, Kyle was busy doing the Tucker impression. So
yeah, check. Anytime you want me to call in and do the Sheck impression, I got that too. You got the number. Anytime.
Whoa. I'm vain enough to now be officially intrigued. Let's hear it.
Oh, you know what? The baby's crying. I got to go. I'll have to get to it.
There he goes. Tucker, 93 down. 97 to go. We'll keep you up to date there, Kyle Brandt. Thanks for calling in there. So, all right. So, while you eat the donuts, let's get back to MeUndies. And we do need you to go to MeUndies. Wait, give me that. Where'd my card go? I need all the info here. We want you to use the DDFP hashtag there, the special URL, MeUndies.com/DDFP, 20% off your first pair. If you do so, now, Ross Tucker.
Is every munchkin like cake like this?
They're like snowflakes, yeah. They're each one. It's its own thing.
No, but I mean, you know, like a glazed donut like is like, it's just like air inside?
Yeah.
Are there any munchkins that are just air inside?
No! You said cake, and
dude,
I couldn't
dude,
be.
Dude, after your donut thing,
yeah,
I was somewhere and I got a maple donut.
Did you?
They had free donuts, and I specifically grabbed maple for you. It's close between maple and blueberry cake for
me. A lot of people rose up when I declared the buttermilk, the donut.
No, I mean buttermilk. I meant buttermilk. Buttermilk.
Oh, you did.
What was I saying? Maple?
You said maple.
No, buttermilk.
Well,
but listen, I got a buttermilk.
I gave the Shecky Award Best Donut for 2017 to the buttermilk donut, and a lot of people said, what about the maple bar? That's number one. I'll be honest with you. I got to get back to it and try it again. It's good, but it's kind of like goat cheese in my book. Like, the maple bar is good 3 bites in, but by the end of it, it's like, all right, enough already. And, you know, it's too much of the flavor. You know what I'm saying? But what you're asking is, you want a raised donut. Raised donuts are just that airy kind of thing.
Well, I just
the
feel
cake
like
is, the
it'd
cake
be easier
is,
to eat 100 if it was raised. I'm telling you.
You didn't say raised. You said blueberry cake donut.
I'm telling you, if I got, like if I hadn't already had lunch, I had a very filling lunch.
Mm-hmm.
If I hadn't already had lunch and I was getting like $1,000 per each one of these I ate, I still couldn't do 100.
Is that true?
I could
Look
not do
that.
100.
Oh.
I mean, dude, these are bigger. And
you hold your feet to the fire. You shoot your mouth off. It's easy once it's time to
do
it. I mean, you know, if the situation were right, if the circumstances were perfect, I could probably throw down 50 in about a half hour. I've said it before. I'll say it again now. When I was in college, I entered a wing eating competition at what is now called Buffalo Wild Wings, but back then it was BW3s. It was a regional thing in the Midwest. I joined it, and the first round was 50 wings in 15 minutes. It took me 14 minutes and 35 seconds to eat the 50 wings. So I did that. The next
14 minutes.
Second round, come back 3 weeks later, go back in there. Monday Night Football is on in the background, and the second round is here. Now it's for real eaters. Now it's 70 wings in 20 minutes. As a champion, as someone who is clutch when the playoffs start getting get deeper, Damashek ate the 70 faster than he did the 50. How about that?
Faster than 14 minutes, you had that many?
I know. Yeah, to look at me, you wouldn't know it. But you know what? You can't gauge heart. You can't gauge guts and stomach. Hey, look who's behind the glass. Bring him on in here. It's his old. It's Ross Tucker's old pal all the way from England. Play us a little theme song, why don't you, as he makes his way in here. Oh, yeah.
He's handsome, eh? He's handsome, eh? He's handsome, eh?
Hello, handsome. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. What a feast. Look
yes,
at this.
Yes, indeed. Do you remember when Ross was on last time and he said he could eat 100 blueberry cake munchkin donuts, little hole donuts?
Is this 100 here?
Well, now it's like 96.
Whoa,
he's only made his way through four.
What? I just found a glazed in here.
That's
a
glazed, that was my one.
A glazed, was this raised?
That's raised, yeah.
So I could have done the 100 blueberry cake, but because of this... It's the whole competition is now what is this? Why would they put one little glaze? Is there significance to this?
I don't know. Do you ever order fries and like an onion, half an onion ring makes it in there? Same deal, I'm guessing, you know.
Yeah.
That looks delicious.
Stop distracting me
to have some.
Well, I don't do you, but
this is your moment of shame, Tucker. This was your playoffs. This was your Super Bowl.
And
you blew it. You ate 5 out of 100.
I think maybe I had 6.
That one might be 6. Hello, handsome. You're just in time. We're about to do, in honor of MeUndies, let's be brief. Let's blow through these questions quickly.
That's going to be difficult for you.
And see how – I'm not even going to answer because I
just
know.
Just one more thing. Just
yes,
one more thing.
Go ahead.
No, I was just doing my impression of you.
Real quick. Real quick. I'm easy to distract.
Real quick.
Real quick. It's not funny. Emma VP behind the glass likes to show
off. She's showing off.
What's nice?
Why is Emma VP? Why is Emma VP?
Come on. M.
VP.
VP. Emma. And you went to an Ivy League school. I'm telling Kyle Branham on that one. All right, ready? Quick answers on these. We'll start with you, handsome. Where will Eric Decker play football this season?
Los Angeles.
Oh, I like the open-ended nature of that answer.
Buffalo.
Oh. Better candy color and flavor, red or blue?
Blue.
No, I mean, I have a single rule in life. Sorry to not be real quick, but I have a single rule in life. There is nothing natural that's blue. There's no natural food that's blue. You should never eat
blueberries.
Blueberries aren't blue.
Well, now I have to detour from Let's Be Brief get into my.
Blueberries are not blue.
Here's what happened.
Called Dave.
They are purple.
Take it away.
I agree with what Handsome's saying. Here's the thing, Tucker.
Blueberries are, by the way, highly underrated. And I hope I'm a part of the.
I love blueberries.
I hope I'm a part of the fruit show because I've been reading they got crazy antioxidants. They're delicious tasting. You can have a handful. I think blueberries.
You can have 100 of them.
They might be number one. They might be number one ranked fruit.
Get Kyle Brandt back on the line so we can have a Ross Tucker PSA on the virtues of blueberry.
They're really good for you.
That is fine. But here's what happened. The blueberry is at least close to blue. Raspberries got the short end of the stick among all the red fruits out there. There's cherry, strawberry, watermelon, and beyond. Somebody said at the candy factory, hey, one of you guys has to step up and turn blue because we just can't have this many variations on red. And raspberry's the one who stood up and did that. Blue raspberry is a fine slush puppy flavor. It's okay, but handsome's correct. Red is the better candy.
Do you know what's interesting, though, what you talk about that? They came up with the name blueberry for something that isn't blue. There's so many red berries, they never called anything red berry.
Dude.
Why did they not do that?
Why is
that
it?
Seems like a missed opportunity. A raspberry, like what the hell's
but
a
But why does it sound so weird when there's a British accent with a donut in their mouth?
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, if you and I talked with our mouth full with a donut,
well, we've discussed
that'd
it many
normal,
times, our favorite word.
But it's weird when
blueberries, strawberries.
It's weird when there's someone with a nice British accent eating a donut.
Well, I support it. He has to pick up your slack, Tucker. Next question. Star Wars or Lord of the Rings?
Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Correct. Will the Panthers make a comeback this season?
No.
Ooh, I disagree. I think they return to the top of that division.
No, I don't think they do.
No.
Who's the greatest NFL super team of all time? Is there such a thing? Has there ever been a
team?
I don't even know what that question means.
What does that mean?
Early 90s Cowboys. Now,
my Bears, anything you want. The 2017 Patriots?
No, I would say early 90s Cowboys or 70s Steelers. I mean, you well, what, 10 guys go to the Hall of Fame? That's a super team.
Late 80s Niners as well.
I guess those would have to be your
those
top three.
Your three.
If you could go into – we really – that is the number one reason why the scientists need to get all their ducks in a row on this cloning business. So we can just for pleasure's sake. We don't have to create better versions of ourselves, although that would be fun for me. I'd like to have a better version of me. But we need them so we can bring all these barroom debates to light. You know, who would win, the 90s Bulls or the current Golden State Warriors? Well, just clone them all in their prime and then they'll play each other. That's a good idea.
Yeah, they should do that.
I'm so sure that's what they'll use that science.
That's
for.
What we need
when
it
they
for.
Do it. When they do it, they're like, all right, first things first. Let's play all these games.
Greatest touchdown celebration.
By the way, I appreciate you keeping the space for my jersey.
Oh, I wanted to let you know.
In between A.J. Hawk and Mario Lemieux.
Can I tell you something, Tucker? That was big news I had to share with you today. We have decided we're inducting a new class soon, but I wanted to give you, because you've been around the league a little bit, I wanted to give you the opportunity to choose which jersey went in to the Digital Wall of Fame. You made it, Tucker. Congratulations.
Yes.
That is big.
You wear Bills. You're wearing that
Buffalo
weird.
Bills. Buffalo Bills.
The ugly one? You wore the ugly
wore
blue
the ugly
one.
Ones.
No. I don't
Navy
ugly.
And royal blue. That's a very ugly shirt.
Navy blue Buffalo Bills.
And what number?
65 in your program.
65.
Number one
I thought
in your
it was
heart.
66 for some reason.
No, 65 in your program. Number one in your
congratulations.
Heart.
We're going to announce the other inductees in the short term. But
I love it.
Wanted to give you the opportunity to choose that. Greatest touchdown celebration ever.
It's too cheesy just to say the Barry Sanders ball flip. I liked a lot of. I mean, I like that. I like the fact that it was a celebration. I like a lot of Steve Smith stuff. Mm-hmm.
The only one I ever remember actually getting into was the Icky Shuffle.
Hmm.
I was like 9 years old. Yeah, yeah. I thought the Icky Shuffle That's was cool. Like we used to do it, like the Icky Shuffle. So I'm going Icky Shuffle.
Who's got the coolest NFL logo?
Ooh.
This is kind of an easy one. Call me a homer all you want. It's got to be the Steelers.
No, it's taken from the steel.
It's the coolest thing there is, and it's only on one side of the hat.
No, it's the old school Bucks. It's the orange creamsicle
Bucks. Buccaneer Bruce?
That's
dude,
the worst
cool.
That's the worst.
Cool ain't the word
guy,
for it.
The guy has a knife in his mouth, and he's winking at you. Think about the old Bucko Bruce. The guy has a knife in his mouth, and he's like, what's
make
up?
An interesting case. Handsome?
It's definitely not that one. I think the Raiders. I think that's where
the Raiders is pretty cool.
It's the same
cool.
deal, but it's I like the fact that...
How about Pat Patriot snapping it?
No.
Which Friends character do you identify with the most?
Joey. And I don't like that show.
Joey's the dumb one.
but he's also the bigger, hunkier
one. The handsome one.
Who do you want me to be, Chandler?
I don't know.
Are they all horrible?
And I can't be...
That's the right answer. I wouldn't want to hang out with any of those people.
And you know what? That dude Ross, whatever his real name is, David Schwimmer, if I ever see that guy, he did my name dirty.
Why?
What?
Dude.
Schwimmer.
Ross Schwimmer? You know who Ross is? Ross is a big, tough guy that punches you in the face, drinks Yingling beer, loves high school football. That's what Ross is. Not some, Rachel. No, Rachel. I hated that guy.
Boy, oh boy, you really got an axe to grind with this Ross. I'll tell you this, though. On the downside, Ross is a very weird name for a baby. You know, like, oh, he's so adorable. Look, what's his name? Ross.
Why?
What were the parents thinking there? Like Ross the baby? That's a weird little
name.
As
opposed to Dave?
Davey. Like Davey turns into little Davey.
Oh, hey, let's name him Dave because the whole point of having a name is to differentiate from others. But you know what? There's only 500 million Daves out there. Let's get another one so that when he's in kindergarten, there'll be seven other Daves and they have to call you Sheck, which you later call Schick for some unknown reason.
I don't – know why you would assume that, well, that coming into
I cannot believe you guys really got 100
Eat your donuts these. There,
let's
Tucker.
Have another one, Colin. Let's both have another one.
To your point about Jimmy Garoppolo earlier.
I'm already like feeling like sick. I don't.
When is Tom Brady going to retire? Ross Tucker.
2019.
Going to retire after 2019. So he plays two more seasons?
Yeah.
Do you buy what I – what do you guess there, Handsome?
I would have said the same thing, but I don't want to say the same thing, so I'm going to say after this season.
Do you buy what I always say, and again, anecdotally, it's what it seems to me is, that guys, for some reason, not so much in the other sports, but in football, when it goes in the snap of a fingers. It's not a gentle decline into that good night.
Quarterbacks, it happens.
It's just like all of a sudden you are good, and then you are very bad.
Seems like that, especially like quarterback.
Well, we saw that with Peyton.
Running back.
Knack and everything. So.
Running back. But not really as much for offensive line, I don't feel like.
Really?
That seems like a gradual decline. Even wide receivers kind of feels like a gradual decline. Think about like Steve Smith and guys like that.
I don't know. I mean, this is just completely random one to pull up. This is a random name to throw out. But like one year, Vincent Jackson was dominant. And he's been hanging around for like 3 years now without catching about seven passes over the course of that that time, right? I mean, just all of a sudden you're good and then you're not.
But I guess it's different. The two positions that Ross just mentioned, the quarterback and running back, is you are the guy or you're not the guy. Whereas with receivers, with offensive linemen, you're not necessarily the guy so much. There's a platoon of people.
You could even do the Revis example for corner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that exactly.
But then you have Terrence Newman. He's like 57. He's still playing corner. He's older than me.
But
crazy.
That right. How long you stay relevant isn't the question. It's when it goes. It just seems like all of a sudden you're bad. And this idea that Tom Brady can play another 5 or 6 years based on the way he looks right now. Yeah, my point is he could hit the field in September and just be like, oh, wow.
Or it might not even be
he's not
September.
Good anymore.
It might not even be September. It might be in September you'd think he can still do 5 more years, and it might be November. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but what does he really do? I mean, he throws the ball for the most part like 10 to 15 yards, middle of the field. I'm not saying this negatively. I love Tom Brady. I just don't think that there's going to be a huge drop-off because it's not like they're asking him to throw 50-yard passes all the time or to throw deep in-cuts. I mean, he primarily just is dinking and dunking it.
It'll be the legs or the hips or something like that will go, and that'll be that.
Well, that's why.
Those,
that's why the Patriots.
Great play, that's Peyton Manning. That's what happened with him. That's what happened with Marino when he suddenly like hit a wall and was done for the second half.
Refresh my memory about Marino.
Marino's hip, I think, went. And
well, he had the Achilles.
He had the Achilles, and then he had a hip injury, and then just couldn't drop back.
I know he still put up numbers, but the Achilles was the seminal moment of his career. That's when he got heavy. Yep. All of a sudden, you looked at him, he had birthing hips. You know, when did this happen, Danny boy?
Birthing hips.
Hey, you've done the NFL, and if the Steelers took Marino, right?
I think we did dip into that one. But, you mentioned a great NFL about 45 minutes ago. It was, for those who are still waiting to hear what it was, Tucker said, what if Archie and Olivia Manning never got together? Tom Brady would have like
seven,
nine.
Eight rings, nine maybe?
Yeah. I mean, Peyton.
Wow.
That's
a good one.
Pretty interesting. Here's the question I have for you. You mentioned offensive linemen. I am not so pretentious as to claim that I understand why one 300-pound man leans up on other large human beings better than other ones do. But everybody loves to indulge these conversations, like just random fans and in fact, people who are paid analysts. I've talked to NFL players who are not offensive linemen, wide receivers and such. They don't know who's a good offensive lineman. It's not their area of expertise. However, you are so make everybody sound smart for the remainder of 2017. Tell us who in fact has the best offensive line in the NFL. Give us the top five if you would.
Can I say no particular order?
Yeah.
Okay. The four teams that were in the conference championship games.
Okay.
Steelers, Patriots, Falcons.
And Green Bay.
Green Bay.
Really?
Not anymore after they lost TJ Lang, I wouldn't think. And then the other two that come to mind are, well, Oakland, Dallas, and Tennessee. So that's seven I just gave you. So I'll get rid of Green Bay now, and I will get rid of New England, and I'll insert Oakland and Dallas and Tennessee. Just tell me, get rid of somebody?
Tell me. No, that's fine. I'm just interested. You often hear people float out, oh, they have a great offense. Oh, it's because of the offense. You don't know what you're talking about. I mean,
I know what I'm talking about.
No, you do. But people love to float the opinions of others and pass them off as their – this is the number one thing, I think, for fraudulent conversations among fans and even, like
you
I say, the
tell
majority –
if a team has a good offensive line, though. You don't have to be an expert to watch the Cowboys and say they have a good offensive line.
Right. But
and you don't have to be an expert to
this
look
has
at
been, this is stuck in my craw since way back to the days of Anthony Munoz. Oh, Anthony Munoz is the greatest left tackle. Oh, based on what, friend? What do you how do you know? Who is an offensive lineman specifically that people aren't aware is great that is great? Or give us two or three names.
Well, I don't think even though people know he's great, I'm not sure people realize how good Zach Martin really is for the Cowboys. Because I'll tell you why. You know, you look at all these guys that have come in the league, Eric Fisher and Joe, all these guys, and they've struggled. And used to be the safe position, taking offensive tackle in the top 10. Zach Martin came, he was a left tackle at Notre Dame. They moved him to the other side of the ball and switched positions. So left tackle, inside to guard, but on the other side. Which means not only a different position going against different body types, but a different stance, use your hands differently, different weight transfer. And the guy was like the best guard in the NFL immediately. I never seen anything like it. I mean, we got guys like tons of guys, Greg Robinson from the Rams. They can't – they're not even average at left tackle.
Why do you suppose – I have a hypothesis informed by what people – have told me, but why is Greg Robinson, to me, about as big a bust almost as Jamarcus Russell or other big skill position names you might float out there? Greg Robinson wasn't like, well, this guy's going to be the franchise left tackle now for the next decade. No, this was the talk was, he's a generational talent. He's going to go down as one of the greats to ever play the game. Why? How could they collectively swing and miss so gigantically on a guy? What's the reason he's no good?
The biggest issue for him is the mental part of the game.
Because he doesn't like football.
No, I think he likes football. I think that I remember watching the Auburn-Florida State game in the national championship game. Remember that game?
Mm-hmm.
He had at least four or five mental errors, which means did not block the right guy. You just can't play guys like that in the NFL. You can't win that way. And Auburn's offense was so simple that I remember thinking, I don't know about that. I mean, the athletic upside is way, way high, but I was nervous about how – and he's – I don't know if you ever talked to him. He's the nicest kid in the world. They said, like, in the Rams facility in St. Louis, the ceiling was, like, I don't know how high it was. He could flat-footed jump up and put both – it's like 12-foot ceiling. He'd jump and just put both his hands up. Like – he's as athletically gifted as any lineman that's come out in 20 years probably. But it's about so much more than that. I mean, if it was primarily athletic gifts, I wouldn't have played at all. A lot of it is just knowing the right way to block a guy, knowing where your help is. And I just think it gets pretty complicated and some guys struggle in that area. And I think he's one of those guys. Then there's other guys like Luke Jokel gets $8 million for a year from the Seahawks. Coming off of playing four games, torn ACL, when he wasn't good in Jacksonville, I don't know why he's getting that.
What's that, arrogance on Tom Cable and the Seahawks part?
Yeah.
Oh, we can make it. We've made it work with less talented guys than this.
Tom Cable refuses to just let a guy play a position that he played in college and have a good offensive line. Like they draft this kid out at the center out of LSU in the second round, Ethan Pochick, or maybe third round. They're going to put him at right tackle? Like, I think Cable thinks he gets extra credit if he takes a guy from defense or a guy that played basketball or a guy that was a bust in Jacksonville or a guy that played center at LSU and makes him – like, I think he thinks he gets extra credit if he, like, manufactures them into something different.
The team that you didn't mention that I feel like just based on – because when I evaluate, when I attempt to from a distance evaluate offensive line –
All your tape study.
Because I would know going in it would be a waste of my time. But just, you know, I can kind of assess, as you say, if you watch the line of scrimmage, if you're getting a push, if there are guys spending too much time in the offensive backfield, then the offensive line may not be good collectively. I certainly can't assess individuals, but I can look at pedigree. And as inexact as that is, I know they have this many first rounders, and this guy was highly thought of coming into college, went to a Big Five school, all that kind of stuff. Don't the Miami Dolphins fit that category? Aren't they like a high end, at least in terms of talent coming in? They seem loaded to me.
No.
No.
No, they've got hole at center. Pouncey's hurt.
Pouncey's hip is a big question mark.
Right guard's a huge question mark.
Right guard, there's about three guys competing for the job. Juwan James has been a mediocre first round pick.
He hasn't gotten better since his rookie year.
Right.
They're excited about Tunsil at left tackle. I mean, to your point,
they could
Juwan James, Tunsil, Pouncey, all first rounders. But
again, yeah, I'm going on pedigree.
You look at their guards. Their guards are just guys.
There's Bushrod, who was a decent tackle, who's made, you know, found it a little hard at the end of his career to move to guard in the first year at least. And then
you're just trying to bring up a conversation so Hank can feel more involved.
That's true, but
it's
have
nice of him to do that.
Now, what about the bad ones? Who give me two or three or five of the worst ones? Teams have no chance. I think an interesting one, at least from a distance. I don't know how good the upgrades have been in this offseason, but I think it's a little tough to put it all on Blake Bortles when that offensive line was as wretched as it was. I mean, you have a couple of nice running back options back there over the last few years, and none of those guys got off. It can't all be coincidence. It's got to be that the O-line is the consistent.
No, I would say Jacksonville jumps to mind. I think the Jets are going to have a bad offensive line. I think there's some that will be probably improved. I don't know about either L.A. team. I mean, the Chargers are going with both these rookie guards. Mm-hmm. I like both those guys, but rookies can really go either way. The Rams, I still don't see it. I'm glad they got Whitworth. I know. Have you ever met that guy, by the way? He is a giant. Huge dude. I think they'll be a little bit better, but they're still not good.
What about the Bengals mentioning Whitworth? Is that, I mean, in general, I feel like
They have a chance to be terrible.
They lost some key pieces.
I have a sneaking suspicion that's coming.
Well, you know, everybody points out these other offensive linemen. The worst offensive lineman I watched last year was Cedric Obuehi, the first-round pick from a couple years ago for the Bengals. Could not stand watching the guy. Could not stand it. I mean, not good and lacked the physical temperament that I would prefer in my offensive lineman. They have a chance. The Bengals are like the gang that just can't shoot straight because now they get all this skill position talent. And they're not going to have the line to go with it.
They still don't have the right quarterback either. Andy Dalton is not a top 8 or top 10 QB. He's fine at best. Kind of enough with all dressing up everything around him and never addressing the central issue, which is that 14 is meh.
Hey, Ross, when you say that, like, you
– Tannehill or Dalton? Go.
Tannehill.
You know what? I think I would go Tannehill. I know that we will be laughed at. Handsome and I will be laughed at.
I would go Dalton.
Would you?
Yeah.
Based on what? Subpar arm, right?
He's got an average arm.
Average.
He doesn't have the athleticism that maybe Tannehill still has after.
Well, what does Tannehill do with his athleticism?
That was an easy thing to say before, but he made a lot of plays outside of the pocket last season.
Hugh Jackson is supposedly a wizard who's going to fix all that ails Cleveland finally.
Did you know that Ryan Tannehill played wide receiver in college?
I heard about that. But Adam Gase.
Where did you find
but
this
now
out?
He has Adam Gase. So
is
now
that is that the number one?
No.
No.
What's please. The what's
it's,
number
it's
one?
It's top. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Went to Harvard.
He went to Harvard.
That's number one.
Antonio Gates played basketball.
That one spread. Yeah, that applies now to too many tight ends now. That half the league's tight ends played college basketball. Tom Brady was a 6th-round draft pick.
That's big.
Yeah.
The Fitzpatrick Harford one.
I can go way back on these, though. People old enough will remember that when Andre Tippett was a dominant outside linebacker for the New England Patriots, they would never go a broadcast without very early on mentioning that he knows Taekwondo. Taekwondo on the side. Chad Brown loves snakes.
Snakes.
That's a good one.
Snakes.
There are a lot of those. Yeah, we could spend a lot of time doing that. Last thing, and then we'll wrap it up here. What do you guys think of this? The ceremony of Mike Vick and Roddy White is just the latest in this weird 21st century phenomenon of signing with a team so that you can retire as that as a
which
member of that team.
Which is totally meaningless.
It is the for whose benefit? Who is the
for the fans?
Is it? Why does a fan care? What are the fans 8 years old? What do they care? Like, he's back on my team. Well, he's not on your team, and I think the fans get that.
I had Lance Moore recently,
yeah,
on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Dave, and he said that it was fans that after he because he signed with the Falcons, and then like a weekend
of training camp. Sorry, I don't mean to. I'm not.
Yes, Lance Moore retired this offseason.
No, but who did he retire as? Like he
Saints.
Played, okay.
After like he played a year in Pittsburgh. I mean, well, that's
he played
stuff.
Like 9 years for the Saints.
Great.
One in Detroit, one in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
But during their heyday with the Saints.
Years. So
well, anyway. He,
so what? Does that erase then the 9 years in New Orleans?
Can I tell you why he did it?
Okay.
All right. So he said.
I want you to eat 5 donuts first, though.
No.
We're going to need a to-go box, Emma.
Go ahead. Tell
that's
your
that's
going
to be amazing for my red-eye flight tonight.
Exactly. If one for everyone.
I already got upgraded to first class, but if I didn't, I'd be like, hey.
You should hand them out.
I get an aisle seat. You go sit in the back. Just handing them out.
Autograph.
Lance Moore. So Lance Moore said that there's a big rivalry between the Falcons and Saints, and it evidently bothered Saints that he was finishing his career with the Falcons. Even though he retired and said, I don't feel like playing anymore, it bothered them. They wanted him to retire as a Saint. It is a ceremonial thing to pay tribute to what the guy did for your team. It's a one-day – it's basically just – forget the signing a one-day contract, okay?
Very
precious.
Forget
that. It's basically just celebrating the player's retirement and doing it where you remember him, which is why no team has ever offered me that because I never was anywhere more than 2.5 years.
Yeah, but we're going to have a ceremony to beat the band here. We're going to put up the Ross Tucker Bills jersey.
Dude, that's how we should do it.
You should retire.
That should be my ceremonial one-day retirement.
Sign a one-day contract.
With the Dave Damashek football program.
You know what? Yeah. I'm back on board with this one-day signing thing. I'm back in
on it. Do the Steelers do that? Do they not do that?
I'm trying to think of when they've ever done that. I'm sure they must have. It seems like it's the thing to do over the last 10, 15 years. Any player of note.
Who would it have been, though?
I don't know.
Not
I mean, if there was one from long ago.
Jason Gilden?
Pittsburgh Steelers fans still are uncomfortable.
Rod Woodson.
Because Rod Woodson doesn't need to retire a Steeler because he has said, well, the team, if you were to associate me with one, I want you to associate me as a Steeler, even though.
Yeah, but he went to the Hall of Fame as a Raven.
No, he won Lombardi's elsewhere. No, he didn't go in. Don't say that. You know which one is bad, though, in Pittsburgh? Is Franco Harris wearing that Seahawks weirdness. People don't like that. People are uncomfortable with that.
But back then they didn't do the one-day retirement thing.
No. If they were to go back and do that. Anyway, listen. Ross Tucker, we've covered it all.
When are we going
to
start the show?
We're going to end the show, or you're going to leave the show right
I
now.
I love when he does it for 45 minutes. He goes,
let's start the show.
Let's go ahead. It's you have one more piece of business to deal with, but Ross Tucker, take your donuts with you if you don't mind.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to put two on my
head on out. It's been a great visit with our great pal Ross Tucker. I can't encourage you enough. If you like to be smart and have a good conversation with your friends and seem sharper than they are, listen to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And like I say, he doesn't just stop at the game of football. No, he delves into the game of life.
Well.
Yeah, that's important to do. Go ahead, Ross Tucker. Get out of here.
Let's do it.
There he goes. Handsome. It's good to see your old friend, right?
It's lovely to see him.
As a reminder, Ross Tucker would never have been a part of my life or the DDFP were it not for Handsome Hank. Good to see you, Ross Tucker. There he goes, right outside of Studio 66.
All right, Ross. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Gabby.
We're going to get you a to-go box for those donuts, but how does it feel to completely not live up to your own words?
It doesn't feel real good. I overestimated going into the battle about how many I could really have. I think now that I've eaten 7 or 8 of them, I could probably do a solid 50 if like my life depended on it, but 100 sounds like a lot at this point.
Maybe before lunch.
Before lunch, yeah, I really think I could do 50, but 100, like maybe in my heyday, like in college, but they're thicker than I thought they were going into it.
All right, so a couple years prior and maybe half the amount. All right, yeah. So take note, but we'll still get you a to-go box.
All right,
now next line of business is Ross. from Friends. What's the deal? Do we have some serious beef with Ross?
Yeah, so it's not a very common name, right? So I grow up and I like my name. I like that it's a little bit unique. And I don't know how old I was, 12 or 14 or 16 or something. The most popular show for like 15 years, there's a Ross in it and he's a dweeb. He's a little like sniveling, like, ugh. He's like the anti-Ross. So I just didn't like that because that gave people the wrong impression.
Uh-oh. They're sneaking up on you.
Thank you. That gave people the wrong impression about the name Ross.
It's because he couldn't get Rachel. Is that the deal?
But he did at the end, right?
He did at the end.
He was a whiny little, ugh. Anyway, you're
all right. Moving on. Moving on. Okay. All right. Okay. So we're going to go positive. It's Father's Day this weekend. What's the best Father's Day gift? I saw you're talking about it on Twitter. So in person, best Father's Day gift.
Well, the best Father's Day gift for real is anything from my daughters, right? So anything handmade that they like put stickers on. They're 5 and 4. So that's the real best Father's Day gift. But Omaha Steaks has an unbelievable Father's Day package. Put Ross in the search bar, by the way, when you go there. $49.99, you get 4 fillets, 4 top sirloins, 4 country fried steaks. I can go on and on. It's like 10 burgers, 20 hot dogs. There's no way they're making money on it. I don't know how they're doing it, but it's a great thing to get your dad's.
I'm taking notes. So make my dad a Father's Day card.
Research, by the way,
of course. Of course. I'm going to make my dad a Father's Day card and throw in some some steaks. All right. Take those donuts. Get out of here.
Thanks, Sideline Savvy. Good stuff there with Ross Tucker. I hope he said some nice things about Handsome and myself. Handsome, thanks for joining us a little late. Did you have a good weekend? What do you have planned for Father's Day this coming weekend?
Father's Day, I have an issue with Father's Day. It always coincides with my wife's birthday, so I get overridden by that, which I think is a very unfair thing
that is unfair.
To do. She should probably reconsider.
That's true. She really should. All right, Handsome, let's wrap it up here. We'll be back with more Hooey and Apple.
Hey, Dave, it was your birthday.
It was, yes.
Did you have a nice time?
I had a wonderful time.
Did you eat cake?
We ate a lot of cake, and we went to a fair that just happened to prop up
break
in
out.
The neighborhood.
Was it for your
birthday? We rode. What's that?
Did they do it for you?
Well, we pretended that they did. That's what I told the kids.
That sounds like a thin slice of heaven.
It almost was. Play the song one more time, and then we'll wrap it up. Again, I want to mention the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure you check it out. In fact, the entire family of podcasts, rostucker.com, one of the greats in the pro football media. Check him out, and maybe if you listen to him, he'll start giving you the leftover blueberry cake. I don't know. All right, we'll talk to you later on. Thin slice of heaven.